you very much. Welcome, everyone, to our February the 3rd council meeting. And I'll get started straight away with a few bits of information. As you can probably all see, or at least those of you who have connected to the Adobe Connect room, there's a new system that's online. If you are having trouble using it and you didn't hear Marika's explanations just now, please just ask, and you know, we'll bear with you and stop the meeting for a while just so that you can get an update from Marika so everyone can use the Adobe. But basically, it's just a simple matter of knowing that to raise your hand, you now have to go up at the top of the screen instead of at the bottom, and the rest should be pretty easy. Right, we'll start with a roll call, please, Glenn, if you can do that.
Certainly. Jeff Newman.
Yes, good morning.
Jonathan Robinson.
Yes, good morning.
Ching Chiu.
Present.
Adrian Kinderis is absent, and his proxy has gone to Tim Ruiz. Tim Ruiz?
Present.
Stefan van Gelder?
Yes.
Andre Kolesnikov? Andre? I think he's on, but he might be on mute. Zahid Jamil?
I'm sorry, it's Andre. I'm here. I just, you know, found the button of the unmute.
Thank you, Andre. Zahid Jamil?
Yeah, hi. I'm here.
John Berard?
I am here.
Christina Rosette has sent her apologies, and the temporary alternate for her is Paul O'Grady. Are you on the call, Paul? Call McGrady, sorry.
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Thank you, Paul. And David Taylor has sent his apologies, and the temporary alternative is Brian Winterfeld. Brian, are you on the line?
I'm here, Glenn. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Wolf Ulrich Knoben?
Yes, hello.
Rafik Damak?
Yes,
Rafik.
Here.
William Drake?
I'm here.
Deborah Hughes?
Good morning, Glenn.
Thank you. Wendy Salter?
Here.
Rosemary Sinclair?
Here.
Mary Wong?
Yes, I'm here.
Olga Cavelli?
Present.
Carlos Aguirre?
Homeless is here.
Alan Greenberg?
Here.
Antoine Lee? Thank you, Stefan. Over to you.
Thank you very much for doing that, Glenn.
I'm
please
here
refer.
Sorry,
who was that?
Jamie Wagner.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Jamie, sorry. Yes, okay, got you.
Okay,
audio thank
you. Out.
Is the audio stream going?
Is the audio stream going?
I have asked. Sorry, we have also got Philip Shepherd, our guest, on the phone. And I am in contact with the IT team to get the audio stream going. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So please refer to the agenda for the main issues that we are going to be discussing in this meeting. And please, if you have any statement of interest or any interest that you want to disclose at this time, please do so. We do not have any updated statements of interest for this call, although, Glenn, there have been a couple of SOIs sent in, I believe, from people who are standing in as alternates for councillors at this meeting. Is that correct?
Yes, that is right, from Paul McGrady and from Brian Winterfeld, and both statements of interest are on the council list. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does anyone want to make any changes to the agenda at this time? Hearing none, you have the minutes from the previous meeting that were approved on the 31st of January as per our procedures. And we will move straight into item two. I just want to give just a short explanation of what this item is about. This is part of our drive to improve our results and efforts to prioritize our pending projects. And one of the things that the council leaders have been looking at is the fact that we have on the pending projects list several projects that have been on there for a while, and because groups have been working on them, they may not have been, the council may not have been aware of exactly what's going on in these projects, or indeed heard about the what's going on in the projects for a while. So one of the things that we wanted to do is just to include in our agendas for our meetings a regular update on one of the pending projects, and just taking them, you know, in order, and asking the people that are working on them, if it's a working group, the chair, same for a drafting team, or failing that, our liaison to the group, just to give the council a short update and give the council an opportunity to ask questions, understand where the group's at, where the project is at, and see if we can't help in the prioritization process. So that's what this agenda item is about. Today we will be dealing with PDNR, that's post-expiry domain name recovery, and I have asked Alan Greenberg, the chair of this working group, to give us an update, and Alan has kindly agreed to do that. So, Alan, over to you.
Thank you very much. The report timing is timely, as you'll see as we go through it. Can we go to the first slide, please?
Alan, this is Marika. I've made you a presenter, so you can move the slide yourself if you want, or if you want me to do it, I'm happy to do so as well.
No, I can do it now that I know I have to. Let's see if I can make it work.
The two arrows at the bottom of the screen, just click the right one and it should go to the next slide.
Thank you. All right, a little bit of background. Essentially, the PDP was designed to look at to what extent registrants have issues with registrants being able to renew their domain names after the expiration date. The issue was originally raised by the at-large advisory committee. PDP was initiated about a little over a year and a half ago, and there are a number of specific issues that the working group is looking at, essentially related to whether there's an opportunity, whether the mechanisms are correct to be able to renew domain names. There is one item that was included about whether transfers should be allowed during RGP, and the working group is essentially punting on that, saying it's not really an issue right now, and we're not going to consider it. But we are taking action to probably mean it won't be needed in the future. All right, let's see. We did an initial report in May. It was an unusual one in that normally the report has draft recommendations. We were not at the point where we could formulate recommendations at that point, but we felt it was important to update the community where we were, and perhaps more importantly, to get input from the community, and that was done. In addition to an open forum at the ICANN meeting, we had a standard comment period, and we took an unusual action at that point, although it wasn't unique in that the board had done it a number of times recently, and that we had a survey which was taken by the public. We had over 400 responses to it, and that has significantly guided our work since then. So it's something that I think we would recommend if someone were to ask for future working groups. Current situation is we are compiling and we have compiled a list of proposals. We are currently in the midst of formulating the exact wording to be put in the report for the recommendations, and we will be in the next week or so doing a poll of the working group to allow us to put some level of consensus with each of those proposals. pending that, at this point, we have, in general, virtually complete agreement in the working group to go ahead with these. We're hoping the poll will reflect that, but we've made adjustments to the wording to satisfy, at least for those on the call, pretty much all of the issues. There's still a couple more to go that we'll be doing in the coming week, but we're expecting to be able to publish a report in time for the San Francisco meeting. I will be honest, it's very tight timing. We have two more meetings left, and we are hoping to be able to get this out in that time frame, but it's going to be tight. We have a public meeting scheduled for the San Francisco meeting, and our intent is, based on the input at the public meeting and the comment forms and the public comment period, to issue a final report, hopefully relatively soon after the meeting. There have been a lot of questions of why it's taken so long, and the answer in general is, number one, it's being complex. There's a lot of issues, and there's been very great dissension among the working group, essentially between the registrars and the user community, as to exactly what the problem is and to what extent it should be regulated and addressed by policy as opposed by other means. It hasn't been an easy working group, and I think it's a significant achievement that we are getting to at the point now where we seem to have pretty much good consensus as to what is going on, what should we be doing. And I think that's about it.
Thanks very much. Thanks for doing that. So are there any questions? And once again, the idea is for us to understand where the group's at and when, you know, it might finish its work and what the issues it's facing are. So I think that presentation by Alan was pretty clear on those points, but in case there are any further questions, please do not hesitate to ask, and I'll start a queue. If you are on Adobe, please put your hand up. If you're not, please just speak up. Wolf.
Yeah, thanks, Wolf. Wolf speaking. Just one question, a small question to Alan. with regards to the, if you're going to finish your work after your work, is it to be expected a kind of follow-up work? That means that your recommendations are going to influence or to impact existing regulations, for example, the registrar agreement or others.
Yes, most but not all of the recommendations will impact policy, and specifically not only the RAA, because we're also looking at the redemption grace period, which will affect some registries. But yes, we are looking at policy change.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Will. Any further questions? Perhaps I can just, Alan, ask you if you feel very confident that this group will have its work ended, by the time you stated in your presentation, or if you, based on the experience that you've had with this group, if you fear that it might run over a little bit.
I don't know. We have a target to get it published by San Francisco. That's tight. Whether we'll meet the San Francisco publication deadline or not, I'm not 100% sure. Whether we'll finish our work, the substantive part of our work, before San Francisco, I think the answer is yes, because there's not a lot of interest in maintaining this now. The outcome may not be as clean as we want in that case, but I don't think the group is going to continue working for a lot more. There may be some surprises in the next week or so on things that we haven't come to closure on. I'm hoping there aren't, but there may well be. So I'm not 100% confident that we will make the publication deadline. I am very confident that we will have something, we will come to some level of closure before San Francisco, or make a recommendation to council to disband because we're locked in a dispute forever. I'm not expecting that at this point. Things are working much better than they have in the past. So I think that's right. Where we stand. Whether we actually meet the final deadline of get everything edited or not, I don't feel 100% confident on.
Well, that's actually
just not enough days left to feel very comfortable with that part.
Okay. Understood. But that's actually very good news, because from what I'm hearing from you is that we can expect to consider this project as ended, maybe not by San Francisco, but shortly thereafter, if failing that.
Well, certainly there's going to, in terms of weeks or even several months, there's the period of comment period and analyzing the results, incorporating them is going to take some time. That's not going to happen instantaneous, but if this is a tunnel, there is a light at the end of it. Hopefully it's a white light. We've had surprises before that we came to agreement in the teleconferences, and when we held a poll, the answers were completely different.
Okay.
I'm hoping that doesn't happen this time. If it does, we'll deal with it. It won't be nice, but if that's what happens, it happens. But I'm hoping it won't.
Okay. So we'll come back to look at this again by our next meeting in June, and at that point we would have a result.
Well, I think by San Francisco we'll probably know which way we're going.
Okay.
either it's wrapping up nicely or it's wrapping up not nicely, but there's not a lot of interest in having this see another anniversary.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? Okay, just a short word to tell you that the audio cast is not working yet. And latest update is that it actually should be working now, so those people using the audio cast, if you can just confirm that's working, that would be helpful. And let's move on to item 3, which is to do with the GNSO improvements and more specifically the two steering committees that were set up to handle those improvements and a new standing committee that was set up following the motion that we passed in Cartagena. The resolved parts of the motion are on the agenda, and we have a few volunteers now for the drafting team. There's a couple of things that we need to look at here. The first is possibly asking ourselves if the same people should be involved in the standing committee's drafting team should they be the same people that are involved in the actual steering committees themselves. So far, all the volunteers that we have been involved in those steering committees or still are. I mean, we have Philip, for example, who's actually the chair of the OSC and who's volunteering for being the chair of this drafting committee. And we appreciate that. However, on a personal note, I ask myself whether this does not defeat the purpose of the standing committee in some way, and I'd like to have some feedback from the council in that regard. And I will also call for other volunteers if there are some. And if no one opposes, Philip, after that discussion, then I suggest we move to that. And then there's a point about actually starting the work of the drafting team, and staff has provided some guidance as to what the drafting team may want to look at, or what the council may want to look at as the drafting team starts its work. So I encourage you to look at that on the agenda, and let's open this up for discussion now with Jeff.
Hi, Stefan. Thanks. I agree with you wholeheartedly on the notion that we should strive for some sort of independence on this standing committee, and that the volunteers, hopefully for the most part, in my mind, should be different than those that were on the steering committee or the work teams. That's the primary reason, as much as I love this stuff and want to continue to serve, that's the primary reason I didn't volunteer, and I know Chuck Gomes, I've had this discussion with him as well. as much as he'd like to serve on it, you know, we've both been kind of holding back on that. That said, I do think that there should be a liaison role or someone from the steering committees that may serve in a liaison role to these standing committees. I will not volunteer for that from the PPSC just because I think it should be other people. But I think a liaison role is fine. But having it dominated, as I see right now, of all people that were, with the exception of Mary, I'm not sure if Mary was on it, but I know that Avery, Wolf, Philip have been actively involved in PPSC and or OSC. And also my next thing is that the registries are collecting some volunteers and we'll be submitting them in the next couple of days.
Great. That's useful. Thanks very much. Mary, I had hoped, actually, that you wouldn't speak until agenda item 8.3, and then I wouldn't have to start by congratulating you and then going back to this agenda item, but that was obviously not going to happen. So congratulations, Mary. I believe you are new vice chair. Welcome aboard. And once again, thanks to Olga for the service that she put in. And please go ahead, Mary.
Thanks, Stefan. Sorry to disappoint you, but thanks for the congratulations, and thanks to everybody else, too, and certainly thanks to Olga. So on this point, I mean, I agree with what you and Jeff have been saying, and obviously I certainly hope there'll be more volunteers. I also appreciate Philip volunteering, but given that he was the chair of the OSC, that might pose difficulty for quite a few people in the community outside of ourselves. So I have one suggestion for the chair, and about it with him, and of course this is dependent on whether he's willing to do it, but I would like to nominate Wolf Ulrich to be the chair. I mean, I know he was on, I guess it was, I can't remember, the OSC or the PPSC, but he wasn't the chair, and, you know, he's been very good and thorough in everything that he's done, and I think he would be a very efficient and very effective chair. Thanks.
Thanks, Mary, for that. I see Bill agrees with that. We may want to ask Wolf. I would also just... if we do go down that road, we will probably want to ask the drafting team if they consider the chair of the drafting team should continue once the drafting team's done its work on the standing committee, because I'm assuming that's kind of your intent, Mary, when you nominating Wolf to be chair. But that's something that the drafting team will obviously need to look at.
Right. I don't know that there's any opposition the same way that there might be on this point, but, yeah, I should hope that that's something the drafting team would look at as well.
Right. Tim?
Yeah, thanks, Stefan. I guess it's maybe I have a few questions as well as some comments. You know, for example, what exactly are we discussing? Are we discussing the composition of the drafting team that is so be, you know, drafting the charter, or are we discussing the composition of the standing committee itself? I guess in either regards, the way I look at this is that the standing committee, which is actually a committee that's going to oversee the implementation of the recommendations that the council has accepted, should be, I guess in my mind, made up primarily of counselors, because it's, or at least managed very closely by counselors, because it's you know, a policy management role as I see it. So I guess personally I don't have any problem with you know, those who've been on the OSC or the PPSC being in either the drafting team or the standing committee. I guess if we should decide that it would include other than counselors, simply because we're not talking about anybody that's making policy. We're talking about managing the implementation of policy already recommended by the council, and just that, you know, if we start with the limited number of volunteers that we seem to come up with, if we eliminate those, I think it could encourage involvement of others, but I think at other times it could leave us short. So I'd hate to, while I would like to encourage the involvement of new people, I don't want to, you know, arbitrarily exclude others just because they were previously involved in something else. I don't quite get the reasoning for that. But I think that my main concern is just that counselors are heavily involved in both the drafting of the standing team charter and that we consider very carefully how and why we might allow others other than counselors involved in the actual standing committee itself. Thanks.
Thanks, Tim. On a personal note, I think you make a strong point, and I do think that there's the logic of creating this standing committee as a fresh eyes kind of body to overlook what the OSC and the PPSC have been doing. There's definitely logic in trying to steer that towards counsellors without wanting to exclude anybody, obviously. Now, we are talking about the drafting team here, to answer your question, and not the composition of the standing committee. On the chat, Jeff highlights the fact, which I forgot to say, that the chair that we're choosing now is an interim chair. That's the way we do things. The council asks for a drafting team to be created, appoints an interim chair, and then the drafting team will appoint its own chair. So maybe I can ask Wolf, would you be willing to stand as interim chair for this group?
Thanks, Stefan, and thanks, Mary and others. So I was very surprised hearing that. I was never thinking about that. So, but so because okay, I'm still surprised, and what I would like to say is, so I heard it may be just for the drafting at first. So because I have really to think about my time, organizing my time by myself. But with regards to the drafting, I would say okay if the group, let me say the group, so is really is really really okay with that. So I would accept that for the drafting team, just that.
Thank you, Wolf. That's appreciated. Thanks for doing that. And you'll soon find out if the group's okay with it or not, if they confirm you as chair or if they don't. But I'm sure they will be, and I'm sure you'll do an excellent job. So thank you for volunteering.
Stefan, Philip here. May I make a comment in a moment?
Of course, Philip. Sorry. I forgot to say that you were on the call and you're about to give us an update on the OSC. So please step in.
No, I'm on the same subject. I'm delighted if somebody else wants to chair. So that's fine. But my main comment really was an observation in terms of where council thinks it is. I mean, my view as OSC chair is that we had basically within our three teams done 20 work items. Out of those 20 work items, 17 are complete and adopted. And three are pending, and I'll give you updates about those pending ones in a moment. And my view is that those pending ones are going to resolve themselves pretty quickly, at which point I presume the OSC winds up and disappears. And I guess the same is going to be the same for the PPSC, and indeed that's in line with your earlier resolution. Given that, I mean, my view of the new standing committee was simply a body where any issues that come up in terms of the procedures that have been followed can be looked at. And then, to my mind, it came a question of, well, who should be doing that? And I'm putting my BC hat on for the moment. I think our feeling is that we like to look towards our councillors as focusing on policy, because there's one hell of a lot of that, as you well know, and more administrative issues. We feel that if there are other people to do that, then that's probably a good thing. And secondly, I think one comment I heard was about fresh pair of eyes. Now, it may be worth also remembering that the structure of both steering committees was a steering committee and then below that the work teams. Now, I viewed my role as chair of the OSC to be a little bit like the new role of council, which is a manager of the process. So I oversaw the work teams which were doing their role. There was a little bit of second house revision in terms of some of the work that then when it goes to council, maybe a couple of loops back to the work team. But essentially, the guys on the work teams were the ones who, if you like, were perhaps embedded or committed to a certain direction of proposal, whereas the steering committee was simply trying to make sure they looked okay and understandable. So my view of any of those items in terms of are they the right ones, are they fit for purpose, is, well, they seem to be at the time, but we can only tell by testing them. And certainly I would think that most people on the steering committee that I was chairing probably felt the same, that if indeed it turns out that these are onerous on our own councillors, then things should be changed. So I don't think council should have any concern about embedded positions in terms of a certain direction, because certainly from my perspective, that was not the case and not the spirit of the steering committee. So I hope that might help you in your discussions.
Thanks, Philip. I want to stop on one point that you make, which is something that I've been looking at as well. And there is there are questions that the council needs to ask itself about this standing committee with respect to the fact that my understanding, and I was unclear about the OSC, but you've just made that clear, is that both steering committees are nearly finished. Their work is nearly complete. Their work may be complete in the next few weeks. And in that case, we really have a situation where we may have a standing committee that was set up to do something that really no longer is there to do, and we may indeed, as you suggest, have to look at that standing committee in a different light. I want to highlight the fact, with regards to the recent discussions that we've had on resources, that one of the things that has eaten up considerable resources over the past 3 years for the council is GNSO improvements. And one of my aims, desires, wishes, dreams would be to make sure that we spend less time on GNSO improvements now that so much work has been done. And I think we have to recognize that the both steering committees have done a lot of work. They've been very busy. Philip's just told us that out of their 20 work items, the OSC has completed 17. That's a lot of work. You all know that the council has changed considerably over the last couple of years. If you just look at the stakeholder group and constituency changes, just that is a huge accomplishment. So I would also like us to have a look at things in that regard, and to see if this process, the GNSO improvement process, is not something that is now winding down, and that we may want to stop for a while, take stock, see what the changes that we've made, what impact, how they impact us. Obviously, we want to let the steering committees finish their work, but do we want to add some more? And I'm just looking at the queue. If there's no further comments after that long monologue, and I apologize for that, I will hand over to Philip for an update on the OSC.
Okay, thanks. I mean, but perhaps just to add to what you said, I mean, I think the question that perhaps you should ask yourselves, and maybe that will be your next meeting, would be, is a role of a standing committee reactive or proactive? Reactive means you've got a group there. If there's something in the procedures is not working, you simply say, hey, guys, please look at this. Proactive suggests additional work, perhaps of the flavor that you were suggesting was unnecessary. Anyway. On to 3.2, outstanding OSC work. Three bits of that, two of which are going to hit you as council imminently. One, I'm waiting for feedback from council. So, on statements of interest, following selection of interactive loops between the OSC and Council, our meeting in Cartagena, and discussion at the OSC level. We have, just in the last few days, completed a simplified revision of the Statements of Interest document, now fitting neatly onto 300 pages, and I will be sending that to Council shortly with our recommendation for Council adoption. The second item, which has also been revised after various loops on the OSC, is the Global Outreach Program. And this document is now down to something like 11 or 12 pages and is also imminent for adoption at the OSC level and therefore to Council recommended by the OSC for your adoption. And the document has been changed from earlier versions into essentially two parts now. One discussing global outreach strategy, and it focuses on increased participation by new members of the public in the ICANN world and calls for the setting up of a standing global outreach task force. And the second part of that is entitled Development of Global Outreach Program and essentially focuses on guidance for self-formation of new constituencies. It's a much shorter section than the earlier one, which I think was the main thrust of the work. So again, that report will be with you imminently. And the third item of work that the OSC believes it is still to do is to revisit the current procedures for absentee votings and proxies, as we received information in particular from the non-commercial stakeholder group that the current procedures do not gel with their own internal procedures. And you will remember as Council that Stefan forwarded to you a rather simple set of six questions which we're asking each stakeholder group to answer and get back to us on so that we can see what changes are needed on proxy voting to find a simpler system that works for everybody. I would add that I think of those six questions, five of them are trivially easy and can be answered probably over a cup of coffee. Four may require a little more thinking. One may require a little more thinking, which is asking about any specific changes that you may like to see in the proxy voting procedure. And we would be very happy to receive your input on that so that we can rapidly make some changes and make your lives easier.
Philip, thanks very much. And please thank the OSC for their work and their dedication and their time. I would like to highlight the fact that when we do get those recommendations, be it on the SOIs, the global outreach, or the proxies, I would encourage councillors to read them. I know it sounds like an obvious thing, but in the past we have been taken by surprise by steering committee recommendations that we accepted, and then when we tried to put them into practice, we realized they didn't quite fit with the way we thought we could do things, and the proxies and the SOIs are an example of that, the DOIs, sorry. So please, do take the time. I know your time is short, but do take the time to read those recommendations as they come in, and that is the moment where we want to be discussing with the steering committee that sends those recommendations the finer points of what's been recommended so that we can move forwards with something that everybody's happy with. Are there any questions to Philip? Hearing none, seeing none. Jeff, could you please give us an update on the PPSC's work?
Sure, and I'll try to do it fairly quickly. The PPSC, as you know, is comprised of the working group work team as well as the PDP work team. The working group work team, as you know, submitted its final report to the council. The council has put it out for comment. Comments are due on February 8th, I believe, and someone can correct me if that's not the right date. then it'll be in the council's hands to decide what to do with it. Hopefully there won't be too many controversial comments. If there are, the council can then decide to either address the issues themselves or send it back to the PPSC or the work team. So that's where that is. The PDP work team, I submitted on January 18th in line with the motion a timeline, proposed timeline for delivery of the final report. To summarize, we should have our draft final report out by the document deadline for San Francisco so that we can have a session on it in San Francisco. We make the name of it from draft final report to something other than that because of some discussions that have happened within the work team. But essentially, that's it. We'll submit it out for public comment for the document deadline in San Francisco, discuss it then, and prepare a final report by hopefully April 30th. And then at that point, according to the procedures, it would then go to the PPSC for its consideration. And that's the quick update.
Thanks, Jeff. Well, sorry about that. Do we have any questions for Jeff? Okay. Thank you both for providing us with those updates. And as we don't seem to have any discussion around this, let me just say something. Let me just ask Bill to just say something very quickly. I know there's not much that you want to report, Bill, but just maybe tell us where you are with the proxies that Philip just mentioned. The PPSC was still the OSC, sorry, was still working on, and I think awaiting some kind of proposal from the council on this proxy language that is difficult for some of us. Bill, you on? Okay, it looks like Bill has disconnected. So perhaps we'll come back to that and just move on to item four. And if Bill, if you can reconnect, just give us a shout when you can do that. Right, so item four is...
Stefan?
Stefan? Yeah.
Well, it's Wolf speaking. Just a short comment on the drafting team. You know, I saw something in a chat with regards to the chair of this drafting team, and the drafting team itself should elect or appoint its the chair, which I agree. So the only question is how then to start up with the work. So I would say, so if that is a possible way to start up this, so that I would like to organize the first, let me say, first round of discussion, the first call for that, where then we could meet together and then and appoint a chair for that drafting team, if that is okay.
Yeah, that's fine, Wolf. That's actually the way we generally do it. The council appoints an interim chair. That would be you in this case. What you'll probably find is that no one wants your job. So you'll probably be chair for the drafting team. But what the council does in appointing an interim chair is give the drafting team a hand in getting started, getting set up, and getting the ball rolling. So that approach is fine.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Bill, are you back on? Okay, no, Bill. So let's move on to JAS, Joint Applicant Support. And we passed a motion in our previous meeting, which has needs some discussion. The reason being that the motion that we passed amends the charter that was for this community working group that was originally accepted by ALAC. So we now have a situation where this community working group may be looking at working under two charters, which is slightly unusual. And one of the first questions that the GNSO may want to ask ALAC is, would ALAC be open to accepting our amended charter, or do they want to stick to the charter they approved originally before we considered the charter for this group ourselves? So I wanted to ask our ALAC liaison, Alan Greenberg, if there was any word from ALAC on this.
There's word from ALAC, although not definitive at this point. The ALAC has decided that it will not accept the GNSO charter in lieu of the one it passed. There is an intent to come up with a new version of the ALAC charter, which is a superset of the GNSO one. In other words, we will take the IDN issue and add it, and we will then, the intent is then to end up with a charter which essentially can be segmented, that is to identify the GNSO parts and the non-GNSO parts with a level, with some level of recommendation, and we're not sure of the exact wording, to the working group that its reporting be done in such a way that the GNSO can act on the recommendations that fall within its charter and not have to deal with the other ones. As I said, the wording of the revised version of the charter is not complete yet. We're still working on that. But that is the intent to go ahead. And that is not that different from what I gather was discussed with Bruce in earlier, in, you know, discussions a few weeks ago between Stefan and Bruce. So I can answer further questions. We did take action to say we would not simply adopt the GNSO one. We have not finalized what we're doing in place of that, but I think it will end up being something which is essentially a clear superset with easy delineation between the sections.
Thanks, Alan. When you say discussions between me and Bruce, did you mean Olivier?
There were several discussions, but I understand that you also were talking to Bruce about it at one point, where he had made some suggestions on ways forward.
Yeah, okay. Just to clarify that. Yeah. Thanks very much, Alan. So we now have a situation where there's a proposal for, as if I understand it correctly, the group to work under an updated charter that would allow it to report to the GNSO what the GNSO wants to see, and to report to ALAC what ALAC wants to see, and just to have a kind of segmentable reporting line there, which is a novel way of doing things, but I don't see any administrative problems in doing that. It would be interesting to know what the council thinks. Tim, you have your hand up.
Right. Yeah, I think we should be cautious, because, you know, I don't think we want to imply that we think this is the way forward on these community working groups, because I certainly think that there's serious issues here. For example, we have no idea now, you know, how the board will look at the recommendations made by this this working group, given that they could be making recommendations that don't fall under the GNSO charter at all. So the GNSO may not even get those recommendations or take any position on them. We may not agree with them at all. And you know, the reverse could be true as well with some of the other advisory committees and support organizations. So I don't know what the answer is for this particular one, but I think, however, whatever happens here, we want to be, as the council, I think we want to be careful about indicating that we think in any way, shape, or form that the way things are going forward here with Jazz is the way things should be. And then just, I know it's not on any other business, maybe it could be if we have time, but just, again, to kind of solidify, you know, that we have definite plans to, you know, get to this discussion and how these community working groups will work, and at least in our minds as the GNSO and the council, so that we can get to discussions with the other organizations and try to come to some resolution about how these things will work going forward. Thanks.
Thanks, Tim. There is, and Glenn and Olga can speak to this more than I can, but I think there is in our proposed agenda for San Francisco on the weekend meetings, a discussion on community working groups that's being planned. We can certainly start this discussion earlier and put that on the agenda for the next meeting, which is, I forget the date, 24th, thank you, Glenn. So we can certainly start the discussion there, and I will make a note of that and add that to the agenda. Alan?
Yeah, a couple of points. As a working group member, it would be useful if we get some indication from the GNSO whether it would be willing to take a report with various recommendations identified as targeted at the GNSO, or whether it needs or demands a report that solely addresses its charter. I don't know which way it will be easier to go for the working group, but if only one option is acceptable to the GNSO, that would be information that would be useful. A couple of other things, though. In terms of the way going forward, I don't think anyone thinks that what we're doing this time is optimal or anywhere near optimal. We're stuck with the situation as it is today, where the group is addressing issues the board has asked questions on, which have a very tight timeline. And the intent at this point, I think, is to go forward somehow and not bog it down in administrative problems. And lastly, in terms of the out-of-scope issues, there's a whole, as part of the group that's been working on the new PDP, there is a whole aspect of PDPs and voting thresholds which address things that the GNSO decides to do which are deemed to be out of scope. So there's a long history, and you know, even in the bylaws, that the GNSO is allowed to work on things that are out of scope. You know, it takes a different threshold. The board can treat it differently, whatever. But that's not a unique new thing at this point. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Rafiq.
Oh, yeah. Rafiq. So. Okay, hear me. So I don't see any problem. Even now, we have two charters. As the GNSO Council asked the working group for some tasks, the working group will do those tasks as requested by the GNSO Council. And we also have the ALAG charter version, and then we will respond to the tasks requested by the ALAG. It will be maybe better next time to have common charter between the chartering organization, but unfortunately we are not in that situation. But as now as chair or co-chair of the working group, I can say that we are working in the both in those items, and we are going to respond to our corresponding chartering organization about the tasks that they asked the working group to do. Honestly, I don't see why we are still continuing to discuss about this issue. If maybe the GNSO Council couldn't fix it before, I'm not sure that it will fix it in the future. But at least I'm experiencing now in my own capacity, I think that the working group will try to, in because the tight timeline, to prepare the document responding to both items from the GNSO and ALAC. Thank you.
Thanks, Rafiq. Mary.
Thanks, Stefan, and I'll keep this brief. It's mostly what Rafiq was saying, and I think I just want to emphasize that since the council decided that some of the work that the working group is doing is outside its scope, then when the report comes out, I guess we would comment on whatever the working group has done that we consider to be within our scope, and yet the whole report will go to the board and the community, who I think will be able to demarcate between the different tasks, because that's what we're told the working group is going to do. And then going forward, as what Tim and others have said, clearly we do need to talk about this. I'm glad that time has been set aside in San Francisco, but as others have said too, let's not have procedural problems or lack of clarity over functions of working groups writ large hold up any other work. So let's just go forward and see what happens with the report. Thanks.
Mary, and both Mary and Rafiq, I'm unclear as to what you're suggesting the GNSO Council should do now.
Stefan, sorry if I'm not clear. I guess what I'm saying is that there's nothing for the GNSO Council to do now. We've charted the JAS to do a particular type of work, and they're going to do that, and ALAC has charted them to do that and other things, and they're going to do that too. So right now I don't see anything for us to do. When the report comes back, then I suppose we would need to comment or do something about those parts of the working group's report that we considered within our scope at that point. Thanks.
Thanks for that clarification. That is my understanding as well, that at this stage the Council is saying to the JAS working group, and Alan has said on the chat that the working group members are happy to work on the union of the two charters, but the Council is saying work on, just provide us with answers to the points that we've chartered you to work on, and the rest.
No, Stefan, I don't agree with that. I've got my hand up.
The fact that the Council is saying this?
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all. I don't hear the council saying that. I hear two or three people have spoken today, but I don't think that that's what the council has said. We approved the charter, and that's what our wishes were as far as what this working group does. If it's going to go on and do other things, then I think all of that needs to come back and report to the council as well, and give us an opportunity to comment on those things, whether they're a part of the charter or not. And in fact, I think if we don't, all that will happen is when the report goes to the board, the board is going to ask us our opinion on those things that we don't comment on. So I don't think we want to take a position today that we will make no comment on parts of the report that don't apply to our charter. Just because our wishes were that they didn't work on it, doesn't mean that if they do work on some things that we didn't charter, that we don't want to have a comment. We don't want to have some opinion about that. I don't think the two are the same.
Just to clarify what you're saying, Tim, the council can either say we have this charter that we have agreed to work on those elements. If you work outside of this charter, we won't look at those. Or it can say the first part is the same, but if you work outside of those elements, we may also comment on those. Have I summarized what you're saying properly?
Yeah, I think that. Well, I don't know if I'm putting out a black or a white option. What I'm saying is that I don't think today we should take the position that we are not going to comment on aspects of the report that didn't apply to our charter. I don't think that's a smart thing for us to do. We may have huge issues with some of the things that they might recommend that weren't part of our charter. We have issues with them, obviously, because we didn't want them in our charter. It wasn't necessarily because some of those things were out of scope, perhaps. It was that we didn't feel that, you know, for whatever reason, that this working group didn't work on it, and not always because they were out of scope. That may have been the issue. It may not have been. But if they're going to work on things and make recommendations to the board, there may be things there that affect the GNSO that we want to have a say on, and I don't think today we want to take the position that we don't until we see what they are.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you very much. Rafiq.
Yes, I think that the GNSO Council asked it for some tasks, then the working group will respond to those tasks from the GNSO Council. So I'm not sure I'm not understanding why team is worried about that. So we will respond to the task asked by the GNSO Council, but also we will respond to the task asked by the ALAC. So we are a joint working group, and we need to to work following the how to say the guidance from our chartering organization. I think that maybe for San Francisco meeting we will have a jazz session for the GNSO Council. So maybe hopefully we can that the working group can prepare some milestone report or at least a snapshot for that session.
Yeah, I can confirm that there is a session planned during our weekend work time on the jazz, and I think what Tim's saying, but he can speak to it himself better than I can, is that, Tim, you've got your hand up. You just,
what I'm saying is the jazz working group's in a strange situation, and they just have to deal with it as best they can. They have two charters. I realize they're going to work on those things for both charters, whatever, and I don't have any disagreement with that, and I appreciate the situation they're in. All I'm saying is that there will be, if there are recommendations to the board based on charter items that they worked on that weren't in our charter, that we should reserve the opportunity to comment on those, you know, as part of the ICANN community, as those recommendations go to the board. Just because they're not a part of our charter, we shouldn't today say we're not going to comment on those. We'll take the position that we're not. That's all I'm implying.
Thank you, Tim. Can I ask you, Rafiq, is your hand still up? Or?
Yes, I want just to, I think for commenting that when the, how to say, the report will publish it, everybody from the community can comment. I don't see the point from Tim. So the whole ICANN community can comment on the report.
Right. Rafiq, my point was that Stefan was implying that we as a council were agreeing we weren't going to comment on those things not in our charter. All I'm saying is we shouldn't do that today. You're right. We can all comment, but I think we may want to make a statement as a council, and we should reserve the right to do that as well.
Sorry, Tim. I am afraid that the council is not doing its role of policy manager, but it's more micromanaging working groups and then undermining the working group model that we have in the GNSO and the ICANN as whole. So
that's got nothing to do with Rafiq, with the council reserving the right, as it should have, as a supporting organization, to comment on recommendations that go to the board.
Let me continue. Let me continue. I listened to you talking this piece. Let me continue my explanation. So let this working group continue in this work. We lost enough time. I submitted the motion in November. Now it's February, so it's more than 3 months. Even a revolution happened in my country, and another one is happening in Egypt. And in the council, we are still discussing about a motion for working group. So I think that we have a problem in managing our tasks. So let's this working group do its work to submit the report to both chartering organizations, and then we can discuss about that. Let's not hold the working group from doing its work, please. Thank you.
Guys, I'm going to stop it there. I don't think you're understanding.
No, Stefan, just let me say that opportunity for them to continue to do their work. That's fine. I'm not arguing about that at all. Just that when it's done, that we don't pre-agree, as was being implied, that we're not going to comment on it.
That is clear, Tim. Thank you very much. I think you're both talking about different things. Rafiq's talking about not slowing down the work. You're talking about the results of the work. So you both need to try and understand each other. And just to make a point, I wasn't implying anything, just trying to summarize what had been said already. But I'd like to move on to other people, the other people that are in the queue. Mary, are you still in the queue?
Yes, I am, but very briefly.
Please go ahead.
Thanks, and this is in response to Tim's point. Tim, I totally get where you're coming from, and I appreciate that. You know, we don't want to hamstring the council and do the whole GNSO. My problem, and I think you know, I can say that if the report comes out, there are things that we want to comment on that perhaps is not clear where is delineated in the report, or maybe it's something that is within our scope, whether or not the working group says it is, that we want to comment. I would just say that as a general principle, that what we should agree on is that given the reason why we charted the JAS working group the way we did, that we should only be commenting on things that are within the GNSO scope. Otherwise, it will look to the community like we're trying to have our cake and eat it as well. And hopefully this problem will be avoided in future working groups. Thanks.
Thanks, Mary. Bill?
I was going to say pretty much the same thing. I would just add that, you know, since there is a public comment period, I would think it would be appropriate to restrict whatever we might have to say about the other part to that process. If we're talking about us making some more formal kind of declaration about work that's outside the realm of what we agreed to, that strikes me as a little bit odd and slightly imperial. So I just want to be clear exactly in what form would we be expressing these views and to what effect.
Well, you know, I think that's a debate we're going to have further down the line. I mean, the situation now is that we've approved the charter. The group may have a different charter. It's up to them now to start to work, start their work. And really now we're in a position to wait until they come up with some kind of result and pick it up from there. And we may at that point want to start this discussion up again and see what kind of response we want to provide. Tim is saying that we should not restrict ourselves in the response we want to provide. Others may feel differently, but I don't think we need to resolve that today. What I wanted to know today was what the situation with ALAC was. We know that. We know where ALAC's at. I think the group, the working group, can now go ahead and work on a set of pretty clear guidelines. Alan.
Yeah, I think from my point of view as a working group member and as someone who will participate in the ALAC process at this point, I think our message is clear. The GNSO has not sent a message saying the report must not contain other things. Clearly, things should be well delineated. I think the working group has, from the GNSO, has its marching orders. In terms of the GNSO commenting on things, the GNSO can comment on CCNSO recommendations, can comment on advice from the GAC or the ALAC or any other advisory committee. I'll note the GNSO typically has a hard time coming to a unified single comment if there hasn't been working group and stuff action to formulate that, but that's an internal GNSO issue. It doesn't say you can't do it. It just says there may be difficulty doing it. So as far as I'm concerned, I think the things at this point are clear, and I can go away knowing what I have to do. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Paul.
This may be a question that's you know, based on the fact that I'm a council outsider, but it seems to me that I don't know how we could finalize the position on this until we see what the hybrid charter looks like. Can the ALAC turn that around in a way that it can be looked at to see if there are, you know, tangles or messes that could be avoided? And my concern is primarily that everything in ICANN gets parroted. You know, we see the same stuff over and over and over again. And what we don't want to do, if this hybrid model starts to be adopted, that we don't take an opportunity to, in its genesis here, to step back and see whether or not this is something that's actually going to function, or whether or not the council needs to go back and insist on, you know, having its charter adopted. Thanks.
Thanks. I actually don't think that's the issue, to be honest. I think the council's voted on the charter, and the group now will come back with a report. And what all we're saying today is that we don't want to make a determination one way or the other on what we should look at within that report. I don't think there's a charter issue that we now need to look at, but that was done before. Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree. I want to say I agree with some of the comments before that, but just to the extent that the group is working on some items that are outside the charter that we approved, then that group cannot be referred to, at least a part, as a cross-working group, but only a working group of the ALAC. So as long as that's made clear, then I think that's in line with what we decided on the last meeting.
Thanks, Jeff. Carlos, and I'll end it after Carlos.
Thank you, Stefan. Two or three things, no more. First of all, I think we need to recognize the importance of joint working groups, especially in this case, the matter that try the just working group. On this situation, I can say unusual situations can be usual situations in some moments. For instance, to have two charters, like it happened on this moment with the Just Working Group. So maybe we need to prevent this situation for the future. I think asking or creating rules to solve these situations. I work for 9 months in this Just Working Group, 8 first month as a liaison, ALAC liaison. And I can say that it's very hard and difficult work in working groups where there are situations like that. So, I repeat, my thought is I believe that it's necessary to create or ask for rules to solve this situation in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. And I'd like to move on now. I think we've covered that point pretty well, and we're going to run out of time for we have item 6, which is probably going to take us a long time as well. So let's move on quickly to item 5. This refers to the board resolution that was passed on consumer choice, competition, innovation, where the board asked us to do some work. We discussed this at our previous meeting, and it emerged that there may be some resource issues in doing that work. Rosemary Sinclair volunteered to take the lead on this and has been talking with Bruce about how we should handle this. Rosemary, is there an update that you can give the council on this?
Sure. I spoke with Bruce about 10 days ago, and he agreed that what he would do is follow up with staff. And my understanding is that he's now had a discussion with Liz about the resourcing issue. I also spoke informally with Cheryl Langdon-Orr about ALAC's interest or otherwise in this particular issue. I should just say very briefly at this stage that ALAC is very interested in this issue. They see it as a, and Alan might confirm or give us another view, but see it as a really critical piece of work coming up for ICANN, and particularly in the context of the ICANN-GAC relationship, issues such as consumer confidence, consumer trust, that whole area. Is strategically of interest and concern for ALAC and ICANN at large. Bruce's response to me and also to you, Stefan, is that he wants to think about this a little more to do some further work which I should say we have done, of course, trying to look at projects current and pending, trying to prioritise to determine which projects could be concluded within a reasonable time frame and therefore which other ones could be started. I guess the crux of the matter at the moment is that in terms of a time frame which was focused on San Francisco, it seems that the GAC board interaction is going to take a lot of attention, and even Bruce is saying that our consideration should be for the June meeting rather than the March meeting. So I'm not sure what our next step is. I would advise against GNSO writing to the board to say that we will not, cannot do this work, because I think that the vacuum will be filled by others, and because of the strategic importance of this work, you know, my concern would be that we're dealing ourselves out of a very important space for ICANN. Did you want to add anything different, Stefan, in case you've got a different take on the communication that we've had with Bruce?
Not really, no. I would just add that, I mean, the question that we're asking ourselves is, should we respond to the board with a letter saying that we are too resource-strapped to do anything about this? And that response seems to be acceptable if it is based on that argument, and not the one that we would be asking for extra resources to do this. I don't think that's the message we want to send. The message we'd like to send is that we have our work plan already in place. This is coming in as an extra item on that work plan, and it is looking like it would be difficult for us to accommodate that at this stage.
The only hesitation I have about saying that is that there are a number of pieces of work that rushed right over the top of all of us because of the commitments in the affirmation of commitments document. And this is one of those pieces of work. It wasn't within the first year of reviews that were required. It was it's linked to the introduction of the GTLD program. And Bruce is trying to suggest that people start thinking about this now. I suppose my strategic head says to me this is a very important piece of work, and if we deal ourselves out of it by saying we haven't got enough resources in a kind of blanket black and white way, then I think that people will find other ways of doing this work. So I would suggest that rather than take that step of writing that letter, that we, you and I, Stefan, just stay in dialogue with Bruce and with staff, just perhaps until the next council meeting, to see what we can come up with. We might still get to the point of having to write so directly, but I think a little more time might give us a different result.
Is anyone opposed to that suggestion? Good. Let's do it that way then. From the discussions that I've had with Bruce on this as well, as you, Rosemary, Bruce did try and highlight the point that what the board's done here is, you know, asked us for our advice, and they've done us the courtesy of asking us for our advice, and we could respond by saying that we don't have time to give them our advice, but in that case, as you've just suggested, they may move on without it. So I do think you have a point there, and one of the responses is that, you know, we may not be as pressed for time as the board has implied that we are, and we can take the time to think about this, continue to discuss with Bruce, and try and move forward that way. So if no one is opposed to that, Alan.
Yeah, thank you. Just a quick note. There's been a fair amount of discussion going on as to what the word consumer means. There seem to be three definitions that have been bandied about at various times. One is a consumer on the Internet is someone who does financial transactions on the Internet. The second is registrants as consumers of the stuff that ICANN creates, essentially. And the third is pretty much every user in the world. who is a consumer of internet resources and therefore is impacted by ICANN's decisions. The ALEC feels quite strongly that it's the latter definition that we're talking about, and that's something that should be, you know, discussed as we go forward, because the word does have many different meanings to different people, and it's relatively important we understand we all use the same definition. Otherwise, we're not going to get anywhere with this. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. John.
Good morning. The board resolution said that they were going to reach out to the ALAC, the GAC, and the CCNSO as well for comment by San Francisco. Do we know, Rosemary or Stefan, did Bruce indicate that we have any ideas to what the other groups have said to him? Are we the outlier in this?
I have not discussed this with Bruce. I don't know what we've just been discussing, focusing on the GNSO. I don't know about yourself, Rosemary.
Yes, I think the link is quite strongly to GNSO because of the reference to the GTLD program, and the review within 12 months. So I'm not aware of the further reach out to other groups. I think Bruce's focus at the moment is on GNSO. But to go back to Alan's point, that's an extremely interesting point, and it's the reason why if we as GNSO don't pursue this work in the context of the GTLD program, I think there is a basis for ALAC to pick up this work with the wider brief of internet users, that wide definition of consumers.
Thanks, Rosemary. Jonathan.
Stefan, just very briefly, just to speak in support of Rosemary's approach, which seems to be very constructive and pragmatic, and it just sounds like a very level-headed approach, so to explicitly support that rather than just keep quiet and go along with it.
Thank you very much. That's appreciated. Any further comments?
I'll take an action to continue the discussion with Bruce and explicitly report back to the next council meeting.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to item six, which is an item that stems out of the recommendations that we had from the RAP group, and there was a motion that was made by Tim Ruiz and seconded by Jeff Newman. Tim has withdrawn that motion since then. We have been discussing what to do in a situation like this, and we have conferred with General Counsel. The consensus is that if another councillor is willing to step in, the motion can still stand. That other councillor would then need to step in as the promoter of the motion, and Jeff would stay as seconder of the motion. So my first question in this item is anyone willing to step in and have this motion stand as it is?
No, wait a minute. This is Tim. I don't accept that interpretation of the council, ICANN's council. We have gone to great lengths to define a restructuring of the council. It's established now in the bylaws and in our operating procedures, and I don't see anywhere where what the council, you know, determines is law as far as how we proceed. I realize there's nothing in the procedures about withdrawing motions, blah, 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 but, you know, in the past, I don't ever recall this being the situation when someone wanted to withdraw a motion. So I don't see any historical basis for such a decision. There's certainly nothing in our procedures to make for that decision to be made. I don't believe the council has agreed that when we have a disagreement, that we go to this council and to ICANN council, and they're the deciding factor. And I'm not sure that's such a good idea in all cases anyway. At any rate, so I don't agree. I don't accept that particular interpretation.
Thanks, Tim. Just to give a bit more background, my initial reaction was exactly the same as yours. To me, if a motion is withdrawn, it no longer exists. And if someone else makes the motion, then it's a different motion. And if it's not within the deadline, it can't be made. Council has told us what I told you. And it's we have a habit when we are unsure of consulting with council. So I don't think it's a question of letting council decide for us. I think, you know, there are times when you do need to have that legal support. Here, clearly, it's a case of what does the council, this is council with a C and not an S. Sorry, this is going to get very complicated. What does the council want to do? You have voiced your strong opposition to letting this motion stand, and that has to be taken into account. I see other people have their hands up.
Can I just complete my thought then that if we're going to accept that, then I do agree with you then that this is a new motion made by someone else, and it doesn't meet the deadline, and so it wouldn't be actionable until the next meeting. Or at the very least, I would ask that it be put off to the next meeting. Thanks.
Thank you, Ted. Zahid.
Hi, thank you. Just wanted to make the point that we've been working pretty hard trying to get consensus from various stakeholders on this, and it seems that we have some. And I just wanted to say that, as I've mentioned on the list, I'd be happy to step in as the proposer, and I believe Jeff would be happy to remain the seconder, and if you need other counselors, I'm sure some people might step up. Just wanted to make that point. Also wanted to make the point that if general counsel is given any advice, if I understand how things should operate from general counsel advice, we need to follow it. That's at least my interpretation. Thank you.
I don't think that's true at all. I don't see anywhere in the rules anything that says that we have to follow any advice from general counsel.
Let me rephrase.
Are you saying that? What's your basis for saying that?
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. What I meant was, if that is general counsel's advice, then if the council decides to proceed on that line, it wouldn't be a violation of the procedures. Let's put it that way.
Thank you. Thanks for that clarification. Jeff?
Yeah, thanks. And I'd be happy to stay on as seconder. I just want to say that if Tim's interpretation and Stefan, your original gut feeling, were to hold up, we'd be put into a constitutional crisis here, because that means any time that an original proposer receives an amendment that they disagree with, then all they have to do is withdraw. And that would seem to circumvent the entire process we have in place, which allows a vote to take place that would override. So if someone wants a friendly amendment and the proposer says, no, I don't accept it as friendly, and there's a vote to then add it to the motion, all the proposer has to do is withdraw. And I really think that's an issue of constitutional crisis here that would be a way around any possible amendment that's not considered friendly. And so I disagree wholeheartedly with Tim's approach. I agree with the general counsel's interpretation. And by the way, that's in line with most legislatures as well. Using the U.S. Congress as an example, because that's the one I'm most familiar with, if one of the sponsors drops from a bill, as long as there are other sponsors, the bill will stay on the floor.
I'm surprised by that Congress example, because do you want to follow the French government rules, in which case we'll be here all day and end up eating fries?
Sorry, I was just giving an example.
Just making a point. Thanks, Jeff. Who's next? Margie.
Sure. I wanted to just kind of provide some clarity here. Liz and I spoke to council yesterday when the issue came up, and the reason, one of the reasons that this they came out in this way was because, first of all, Zaid's amendment was not accepted by Tim as friendly. So that's a standalone, essentially vote, and it came in 8 days before today's meeting. So the time period was was satisfied. And so it was viewed as properly noticed, and there can be amendments to it, obviously, but that was viewed as a fairness issue. But again, you know, the rules aren't clear, and that was just the interpretation looking at all the circumstances.
Thanks, Margie. Barry?
Thanks, Stefan. Although I'm a lawyer, I'm not going to speak to the legal parts of it. I think we've already had some clarifications. What I want to say is something more fundamental, that even though we might be in a procedural mess, and I agree with quite a lot of things that have been said, let's try and figure out the best way to go forward in such a way that we actually do something about this motion. First of all, it's already been, been on the table for a while. I think that the working group, the DT, things we talked about at the last meeting, and the background is that I think there is some perception amongst the community that the council is getting bogged down in procedural issues that some people consider kind of inane and not getting any work done. So let's just figure out the best way to deal with this, take a vote, and either move on or if motion dies, let's just do it.
What do you want to vote on, the motion itself or the fact that we consider the motion?
I think from what I heard and from the discussion, it seems that the motion that Zahid's original friendly amendment is now the motion that he is proposing and that Jeff is seconding with some amendments proposed by the registry. So I would propose that we vote on that motion, since that is the motion on the table right now, from what I understand.
So that motion was not made within the deadline.
Right. And maybe I'm at a disconnect here with what Margie was saying, but could we see it as two issues? One is that in fact, not just the substance, but the language of Zahid's amendment, that was what came in on time in the 8 days. That was what allowed the community through our stakeholder groups to discuss the issue, and I think most of us have. And this is not a brand new motion. What's changed is the status of the language, which is instead of being an amendment to a motion which has now been withdrawn, in its original entirety, which was discussed by the community, it now stands procedurally as the motion to be voted on.
This is getting complicated, but my understanding, and bear with me for a minute and tell me if you agree, is that the response we got from General Counsel was that the motion could stand if, and this is the only thing that I understood we could do, we remove Tim's name and add someone else's name. There's no question of changing the motion. We would still need to go through the process of asking if the amendment is accepted as friendly. We would then still, if it's not friendly, vote on that. If it is, we would include it in the motion and we'd vote on that motion. But we cannot, I don't think we can change the motion fundamentally at this stage. And I think bearing in mind the fact that we have some opposition to going ahead with this, this may be something that we, if this is the direction we want to take, we may need to hold off on this, give us time to confer with General Counsel once again, because this is procedurally, this is difficult. But let's continue the discussion, try and get some result if we can. I agree with you on that point. Tim?
To try to, you know, have some way forward here, because this just keeps getting more and more confusing, I realize, and that's unfortunate. The whole background of this motion, you know, was something the contracted parties worked on together, as I'd said before. And clearly, you know, there's issues with thresholds, because there's mixed thresholds in here, because one of the resolves asked for an issues report. Zahid's resolve asks for an issues report. Those have the same threshold. The UDRP, however, is the UDRP asks for a issues report, and Zahid's motion asks for an issues report. Then the other resolve does not. So we have those two different thresholds. So you know, I want to make it clear that the registrars, you know, are not opposed to best practices. We favor that. We like that. Clearly, you know, it makes more sense to us in a lot of cases than policy development. So we're actually very motivated to get involved in best practice discussions. The problem that we have with what has been suggested is this request for an issues report, which we don't understand. We've always seen that as part of the you know, the beginning of a PDP, and so that whole makes us nervous. We're talking about best practices, but then we include this request for an issues report. So, you know, as a way to move forward to resolve both of the issues of thresholds as well as the best practices concern is to, one, we would just ask that somehow that Zahid would accept both the suggestions made by Jeff and also a friendly change to his amendment to remove the request for an issues report and it include perhaps some direction to the contracted parties to take action and to do what's necessary to involve the community, blah, blah, blah. But that we somehow remove that request for an issues report, and at least on the registrar's part, then we would, see that as a friendly amendment, and perhaps we could get on with this then. And then the second thing would be that consider my proposed friendly amendment to remove the UDRP because now we'd be talking about, you know, we'd still have the issue of the multiple thresholds. So with the UDRP, we just deal with that separately. We have other recommendations in the report that need to be dealt with, et cetera, which is Zahid's other amendment, which I think is friendly. So the UDRP, along with the other recommendations that we're not dealing with in this particular motion, then would go on that list of projects that we need to deal with in the sense that, you know, we need to take action on them as the other recommendations in the report. So I think that would be fine as well. So then we have a single motion where we have a single threshold above the majority of both houses on the first resolve as it stands, and on Zahid's second on Zahid's resolve, instead of asking for an issues report, just directing contracted parties to immediately begin working and to involve the community in doing so.
Tim, can I just summarize up? Are you saying that you would accept the motion being continued if we remove if we consider your amendments to remove the parts that reference an issues report, and if I understood that correctly, would you then want to maintain the motion yourself, or would you still want someone else to make it?
No, I would maintain the motion then, whatever's the best way forward here.
Okay, so perhaps we can, if you as maker of the motion are willing to maintain it and have proposed a friendly amendment, then perhaps we can go ahead and consider that. Would anyone disagree with that way forward? I'm sorry, I know I'm bypassing the queue here, but if we are able to make progress, I would like to try and do that. Hearing no opposition.
I think we would. I think some
order?
Of those of us in the queue might.
Yes, Stefan, and I have a point of order on that, just on what Tim
okay.
says.
Well, let's get to the queue then. Zahid.
Thank you, Stefan. Thanks. First, I'd like to make the point I was going to make, but on the point of order, yes, I think it's. On the one hand, I think Tim has said that he's withdrawn support from the previous resolutions as they stand at the moment. Coming back in, I don't know how that will work. So anyway, that's my comment on that. As far as the UDRP is concerned, we've worked really hard to get the NCSG and others on board. And at this stage, just to make sure we have them on board, I don't think that I will be in a position because, to basically agree to getting rid of the UDRP resolution. And if I understand this correctly, and Margie or Marika, Margie can help with this, my understanding is that my amendment that was not accepted as friendly by Tim was made within the deadline, and therefore it stood as an independent resolution. And so it still stands there. And if we were to now to break this deadlock, just make friendly amendments to that existing resolution, literally just replacing the language with the language that we're trying to get through with the earlier resolution, just replacing it, because that resolution of mine, I would think still stands. We could maybe get rid of this deadlock and go for a vote. Is my interpretation correct that my amendment, which stands as a resolution, which is given in, within the deadline, still is there? And I just want to get a clarification, somebody, on that. Thank you.
Your amendment did come in within the allotted time. It has not been accepted as friendly. If the motion stands, it's an amendment to a motion. So if the motion stands, then your amendment would be voted on first. Not sure that's what you're asking, but that's the way we would do it.
Does that mean that my motion still stands?
You have not made a motion. You've made an amendment to a motion.
I understand. Okay.
Margie, sorry.
I guess I'm a little confused here. As I indicated before, Zaid's amendment came in within 8 days and was not accepted as friendly by Tim. So the way we looked at it is it's not just his amendment, but it's Tim's entire original motion plus his amendment is a standalone motion. That was how we looked at it yesterday, having considered the timing and the fact that Tim had withdrawn his motion. So I just wanted to clarify that. And I understand from prior council meetings that there's certainly no problem with having friendly or unfriendly amendments within the 8 days. So to the extent that it gets revised or updated during that 8 day period, that's perfectly acceptable, or it has been in the past. And then I just also wanted to address a separate point that Tim raised regarding the issues report on best practices. From a staff standpoint, we don't see anything wrong with having an issues report for something that would lead to best practices. That's not something that would be out of scope. And we also explored that as well yesterday with council.
Thanks, Margie. Mary.
Thanks, Stefan, and I want to echo what Margie said on both points. I think her first point was my understanding of where we stood procedurally. I have a question on that for Tim and you, I guess, Stefan, which I'll come back to. On her second point, that really, I wanted to let the council know that is actually the understanding of the drafting team as well, because looking at the GNSO processes and that the issues report that triggered some kind of work being done by the GNSO through a PDP-like model, if you want to call it that way, was probably the only way at the time for the GNSO Council to work. So that was the intent of the DT, and we were glad to hear that the staff did not see that as out of scope and did not see that as a problem. The question that I had, coming back to the first point then, is that when Tim talks about maintaining his motion, does that mean the entire original motion, meaning the resolve clauses for the low-hanging fruit and the UDRP? In other words, he's withdrawing his new proposed motion, and we're going back to where things were 8 days ago, provided that he thought maybe we could change the language of the best practices part.
What I understood Tim to be saying is that he would withdraw his withdrawal, if you'll pardon the pun, and so we would go back to the original text, and to that he would request an amendment removing the issues report clause.
Removing or amending the issues report clause, and when you say issues report, you mean the best practices.
Yeah, Tim, step in.
Yeah, I guess what I was proposing, if the council agrees, is that the motion would stand with Zahid's proposed amendment, and then Jeff made some changes to that. I don't know if Zahid had accepted those or not, as well as Zahid's second proposed amendment, except that, we would request that the first amendment that mentions the issues report be modified to not request the issues report, but instead to direct contracted parties to begin work immediately and involve the community to the extent possible, or to involve the community as a whole. But then I was also suggesting that to resolve any issues over the threshold problem, that because then we'd have two resolves that, because I don't even know how to deal with a request for an issues report. You know, what's our threshold for requesting for an issues report on something that is best practices and clearly not a EDP? Does that mean, you know, is that the 25%? You know, I think that's what most of us would think, but, you know, it really wasn't the intent when we designed, you know, we came up with this whole concept, because, you know, the thinking was that an issues report was the potential beginning of a PDP. And so clearly, you know, that has registrars concerned. You know, what's the intent here, you know, with this issues report request? And so we're just asking that, you know, we want to work on this. We're just asking that, you know, if we can agree to the rest of this stuff, if we can just remove that, somehow reword that so that we're not requesting this issues report, which makes us nervous because it sounds like we're heading towards a PDP potentially down the road. You know, we don't even have any, what do we even do with this issues report once it's done that doesn't deal with, you know, problem, you know, with a PDP or what's in scope or out of scope? And when you look at, you know, how that's, you know, how that is used in the bylaws, you know, it doesn't make sense. So, you know, maybe another option is that we ask it for an issues report and then we clarify that this is not an issues report as defined in ICANN's bylaws. That might be another option that we can go forward with. But again, you know, the second part of that was removing the request for the UDRP PDP and dealing with that as a separate motion. It's simply because then we don't have the threshold issues. But, you know, quite frankly, if that's going to be included in there, and there's some way we can do that without mixing, you know, and make the thresholds clear for everybody, then that's fine. Because we'd have
I have a point of order.
We'd have two resolves that would have a majority vote and one that would require only 25%.
Guys, can I just jump in? I'm sorry, I have a point
Jeff,
of order.
Hang on, just a minute. I will get to you in just a second. I've seen your point of order. I just want to say we have 8 minutes left in this meeting. I will let this run till 2:00, the scheduled time that we were supposed to end this meeting. If we haven't come to a decision then, I will ask for this to be deferred to the next meeting, and we still have two more agenda items to cover. It's clear that we will run over this time, so I see a lot of people still in the queue. I'm just letting you know. I'll give this another 8 minutes, and then that will be it. Jeff.
Yeah, so on that, the point of order is that there's already been a friendly amendment that's already been accepted by Tim, which calls for the voting on each resolution separately. So I'm not sure why we're spending so much time on that. We need to get to this vote. I know there are people that want it deferred. Let's get to it. Let's just cut off the queue, get to the vote, and get on with it. Because if this gets deferred, the whole community is watching us. We look incompetent as it is. We'll only look even more incompetent. Let's get on with it, please.
I don't see why that's a point of order, but okay.
The point of order was that there has already been a friendly amendment that's been accepted to vote on each resolution separately because of the threshold.
Apologize. Yeah, got you. Sorry. Wendy?
Thanks. Just quickly, I agree with what Zahid has said about the keeping the UDRP with the rest of this motion, and I would add that back in as an amendment if he didn't do that first. So just procedurally where we end up at the end of this stacking.
Thanks for making things a lot simpler. Tim?
Just to kind of finish up my thought about the issues report then and why we're asking. I mean, if you look at our bylaws, you know, the issues report is only mentioned, you know, in the GNSO policy development process Annex A, which is preceded by raising an issue for consideration as part of a PDP. And then, you know, within 15 days after, you know, an issue's been raised, then, you know, we ask for, you know, then this issues report gets produced or whatever. So, you know, clearly, you know, when we say issues report, capital I, capital R, we're talking about, you know, to us, to registrars, we're talking about something that falls within this policy development process. So, you know, what Our concern is we don't know how that's going to be dealt with later. All we're asking is that that somehow be removed or clearly identified as a report, not that this was not the issue report we're talking about. And otherwise, the rest of it, I don't care. We can, if we make that change, I don't care about the rest of it.
Look at the chat. Jeff is proposing that we change issues report to discussion paper.
Perfect.
Jonathan.
I think I'll hold off for the moment. It's just that I can see that we're getting very, very close, and it does appear to me that we need to make a vote if at all possible, and it sounds like there's a pretty conciliatory approach that's starting to take place, so I'll probably hold off for now.
Okay. Mary?
Thanks. And if you look further up in the chat, I suggested some alternative language for Resolve 3 that Zahid seems comfortable with. I know that Jeff has suggested also changing issues report to discussion paper. I would suggest going with my proposed language, which retains the notion of an issues report for two reasons. First is that that was what was recommended by the drafting team unanimously. Secondly, the issues report could come back identifying the measures, certain things, you know, that can be explored right away. At that point, it will be open to the council as managers of the process to not initiate a PDP, but to create a working group, have a discussion paper, have the different houses work together on different measures. I just think that having the issues report right now, given that's what the DT recommends, would probably actually be the most flexible way to move this thing forward. Thanks.
There's 3 minutes left before I defer this. Tim?
That's what our job as managers of the PDP process is to look at the issues report and say, okay, we realize what they're looking for. They're looking for best practices. They may have misunderstood or, whatever, but we need to look at our bylaws, our procedures, and ask ourselves, is the issues report appropriate here when what we're talking about is best practices? Clearly if, registrars don't and registries don't proceed and work on these best practices, that there's some of the issues that were raised or have to be covered by them that could come back as PDPs and they could be asked for, issues reports on those individually. And then maybe that's what everybody wants to do instead. But then let's look at those individually. But, we're managers of the process. And, clearly, an issues report, capital I, capital R, as Mary is suggesting, is not in line because they did not recommend that this be a PDP. And clearly under the bylaws and that for the PDP, it's an issue for a PDP or a issue about a PDP needs to be raised first, and then you go to the issues report. We're trying to compromise here. We're saying everything's fine. All we're asking is let's change issues report to discussion paper and get on with it. I don't, it'll be too bad if we can't compromise on that. I realize registrars alone, we're not going to be able to vote this down, but it would be great to have a unanimous vote on this by simply changing two words, and it doesn't change, anything down the road as far as what still is available to resolve these issues if people aren't happy with the way the best practices work goes.
Thanks. 1 minute left. Jeff, just before going to you, I will just say that I understand you're all working on the wording. We don't actually know what we're voting on yet. I don't know who's making the motion. That is not clear. We need to, if you want to get this done, we need to get to that now. Jeff.
Yes, I move for the vote. Zahid is the proposer. He has accepted the discussion paper language. Move for the vote.
Any opposition to that? Tim?
No opposition as long as we're voting on each resolve individually, correct? Or
yes.
Thresholds. Okay, thanks.
So the motion we have on the table has been made by Zahid, seconded by Jeff, and there is a proposed amendment that was made by Zahid, was deemed unfriendly before. I suppose we ought to ask whether it is still deemed unfriendly now.
I'm not sure who's who's who here and as far as the proposers and the seconders. But Zahid.
So the proposer is now Zahid, and the seconder remains Jeff.
Well, as Zahid, I'd be fine with that. Let's move ahead.
Okay, and Tim, you had a proposed amendment.
That just that issues report be changed. I believe Zahid accepted Jeff's suggestion of discussion paper.
Zahid, yes?
Yes, that's friendly. That's fine. Whatever I see on the screen right now in Adobe Connect, I'm fine with.
I can't see anything on the screen. There's a big Notes 50 on my screen. I don't know.
Stefan, this is Marika. I've been
yeah.
keeping track of all the different changes on the mailing list, and the language that's up on Adobe Connect in the Notes 50 should cover everything that has been discussed and posted on the list.
Okay, thanks for doing that, Marika. It's a bit difficult to read, but my understanding is that we have one motion with the which includes the amendment by both Zahid and Tim. That amendment by Tim replaces the in the resolved three clause the words issues report by discussion paper. Tim, did your amendment also reference the other issues report in Resolve 2?
Right, but I'm withdrawing that or not pushing it or whatever.
Okay. So you're happy with...
Consensus for that, so I don't want to confuse things. We can leave it in there. It's fine.
Yeah, so my assessment of your amendment is correct. So we just changed issues, the Resolve 3, the issues report there. And if there are no further amendments...
Stefan, this is Mary.
Yeah.
I had my hand up, and I promise this will be really brief. So first, for the record, I guess some in NCSG are disappointed that it would not be an issues report given the DT's recommendations. But secondly, to move things forward, if someone can put the screen down to Resolve 3, there was a language issue that some of us had been discussing offline, and it may not need to be a friendly amendment I'm proposing now if it made it into Resolve 3. Sorry,
Mary.
Mary,
you should be able to scroll down yourself on the right-hand side.
Okay, now I can. Sorry, my screen was frozen. That's fine. Thank you. I'll lower my hand now.
Okay. Is anyone opposed to us proceeding to vote on this motion? Is the motion clear for everybody? Hearing no one, is anyone opposed to a voice vote on this? And I will remind people when I'm asking the question that a voice vote does allow us to record the way people vote, because if there are abstentions or oppositions, they will be recorded. Is anyone opposed to a voice vote on this? Glenn, could you do a voice vote, please?
I would have given.
I didn't mean a roll call vote. I meant a voice vote.
Can we just be...
Sorry.
Yeah, so
can we be clear? Is it 1, 2, 3, or 4 we're voting on right now? Are we going to vote through in sequence?
Absolutely. Good point. We are voting on each resolve separately. Sorry, I should have made that clear. Please go ahead, Glenn. We are voting on Resolve 1, then we will vote on Resolve 2, and then on Resolve 3, which is the amendment by Zahid.
All those in favor of Resolve 1?
We can't really hear Glenn.
And Stefan, there's also Resolve 4, actually, at the bottom, that was accepted as friendly by Zahid and Jeff.
Can you hear me now, Jeff?
No.
Not really.
Not really.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit better.
No.
Are you on speakerphone?
No.
No, I'm not on speakerphone. Is that better?
Yes.
That's
perfect.
Okay. All those in favor of Resolve Clause Number 1, please say A.
A.
Hey.
Is there anybody not in favor? Is there anybody that would like to abstain? So that clause passes unanimously, Stefan. Resolve clause one. On resolve clause two, please say A if you're in favor.
A.
Is there anybody not in favor? Is there anybody who would like to abstain? So resolve clause two passes. Resolve clause three. Please say A if you're in favor.
A.
Please say nay if you are not in favor. Anybody would like to abstain? So resolve clause three passes. Resolve clause four. Everybody in favor, please say A.
A.
Anybody not in favor, please say nay. Anybody would like to abstain? So, Stefan, all four resolve clauses pass unanimously.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Thanks to everyone. We're 6 minutes over time. I'd like to ask the council if anyone would object to me ending the meeting now and carrying over the remaining two items for next time. And if no one objects to that, I would then apologize to Margie for not giving her the time to do her update on the Rec 6 group and ask her to do that next time. Would anyone be opposed to that? Liz?
No opposition, but just want to note for the record that we've taken on some new assignments here with the votes today on the standing committee and with registration abuse, and that we need to discuss the deadlines for and the staff support at the appropriate time. Thanks.
Thank you. If there is no opposition to that, I will now end the meeting, add those two items to next time. Thank you all for your cooperation, your patience, and your time today. Thank you to those who are either up early or late and who are participating. And we will see you all next time. Thanks very much.
Thank you.